Once upon a time, Apple made a pioneering handheld computer called the Newton. It was useful, had its moment on the stage, but did not take the world by storm. The iPhone, on the other hand, just take a look at Apple's latest profit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Apple reported strong profits late yesterday, $7.7 billion for last quarter. That's up 12% from the same period last year. Reporter Tracy Samuelson is following this. Tracy.
David, so this was Apple's biggest gain in nearly 2 years. Much of that was thanks to strong iPhone sales, especially in developing countries, India, Brazil, China. But there's also this sense that many people might have held off on buying a new phone as they wait for the rumored new iPhone 6 model, which is supposedly due this fall with a bigger, more durable screen. If there was a less stellar area of the report, it was the iPad. Unit sales last quarter fell about 9%, and they were down the previous quarter, too. But the company has a gargantuan cash reserve, nearly $165 billion as of the end of June, and it recently announced a new partnership with IBM to try and boost its use in companies.
Tracy Samuelson on the Apple profits beat this morning. All right, banks have a real problem along with an image problem. Some are still seen as stingy with loans. There are the fees and then the string of headlines about banks paying massive settlements in one tawdry case after another. Smaller banks are betting consumers are fed up about this. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
Almost 80% of the respondents in a recent Harris poll blame big banks for the financial crisis. The poll was commissioned by smaller banks who are now using it to smack the big guys and running TV ads that say, hey, we're the good guys.
At Georgetown Bank, we understand that customer service isn't built on talk. It's built on respect.
But the commercials haven't made a dent yet in big bank dominance.
If you go back to 1994, the community banks and credit unions had about a 70% market share. Today, the community banks and credit unions have less than 30.
That's Gabriel Krajic, CEO of Kasasa, which supplies high-tech services to small banks. He says consumers think they can only get that from the big guys. And there's another reason we stay with the mega banks, even if we hate them. Convenience. Bill Black is an economist at the University of Missouri at Kansas City.
If you have to drive 5 miles to use your ATM, most people don't like that.
Black says community banks are able to make a lot of small business loans, but only because the big banks won't bother with them. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Now let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.4% this morning. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.6%. The Hang Seng index in Hong Kong rose 0.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up more than 2.5 hours before formal trading begins in the North American time zones. The U.S. Federal Reserve and its role as banking regulator has breathed fire on the German bank Deutsche Bank for shoddy financial reporting practices that apparently have gone on for years. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York sent Deutsche Bank a letter saying that some financial reports coming from the bank are, quote, of low quality, inaccurate, and unreliable. The nasty gram was sent in December, but it was only revealed in the Wall Street Journal now and goes on to suggest that wide-ranging remedial action is required. Economics has power because it's about the distribution of resources like money. We also know language is powerful. Let's now put both economics and language into the same sentence. We set out to see how economic realities can leave a stamp in language. As Marketplace's Sabri Benishore found out, this is as true in the South as it is anywhere.
Often, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And on a recent reporting trip to South Carolina, I was reminded that in the rural South, how you say things can be an art.
Frog strangler? That's describing a heavy rainstorm where even a frog would have a tough time getting out of it.
Even a blind hog can find an acorn every once in a while. It basically means that even the most incompetent of us can every once in a while luck out.
They're living in high cotton, meaning that their lives are pretty cushy and they're doing well.
That was Andy Grable, Fernando Pizarro, and Leslie Criss. It's not a coincidence that nature and agriculture figure so prominently in Southern idioms. The language of the South is a window onto its economic past.
The South was much more rural than other areas.
Walt Wolfram is a professor of linguistics at North Carolina State University.
Because farming was such an important part of the culture, there are a lot of terms related to things like weather and farming and so forth.
The phrase stubborn as a Missouri mule came during a time when Missouri exported mules. And it's not just with farming. In southern fishing towns, you get expressions incorporating the wind and the water and the fishing economy.
It's draped over the occupations, the economy, lifestyle, really.
Farming requires a lot of manual labor. There's not a lot of time or patience for whining, and that requires a certain discipline. There are expressions that reflect that work ethic.
People that won't buy the yard but try by the inch should be kicked by the foot.
Reggie McDaniel lives in Mullins, South Carolina.
They want an enormous amount for a minimal effort, so they need to be kicked by a good foot.
A few expressions have caught on more widely.
Bless your heart. Basically, that means you're too dim-witted to know any better. It epitomizes the Southern way of being a little bit catty, but not wanting to sound too mean.
That's Danelle Lane from Charlotte, North Carolina.
I hope that Southern speech becomes more recognized as one of the treasures and really the heritage of the South.
But Wolfram says in the urban South, some of these linguistic gems from its agricultural past are fading.
Grandparents and parents don't say those things as much to their kids these days.
Maybe they might should, though. It's easy to feel lost as a ball in high weeds if you're unfamiliar, but Lord willing and the creek don't rise, give it a try and you'll be in high cotton in no time. In Mullins, South Carolina, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
We were walking in high cotton, old times that are not forgotten. Those fertile fields are never far away.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.